Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, isolators, and welcome to Monday's Isolating Podcast, a.k.a. Insulation Tripod, with me, David O'Doherty, a.k.a. Noblers. Welcome to Dublin City. If you're in Dublin City already, hello. If you're not, you can recreate Dublin City by smearing yourself in pseudo-cream and then tipping a bag of cheese and onion crisps over the top of your head. A weather check. Oh, it's shitty. It's not even shitty. It's just overcast. It's just... I don't have the words to describe this. It's like the absence of weather. It's an unpainted wall of a day. It's neither nice nor not nice. It's like a primer of a day. That's my DIY knowledge. I've learned a lot about DIY over the last 9 months. What have you learned? There's a good way to start. What are some even vague life skills? We got to try and pull some positives out of the last 9 months, the baby gestation of this frickin' Rona. I've got good at painting and generally being neat with tape. It's all about taping stuff up. Filling. I've got quite good at filling cracks and holes using little knife and sandpaper. Soup making. I've got good at that. Not that there's much to it. You just, as with so many things, you just have to have the gumption to try stuff. And I do have one of those cheat soup makers where you just throw ingredients in and it blends them. You just throw salt in, really. Just put stock in. You could put in a load of old socks and it would still be delicious. I've got better at wheel unbuckling.
Bicycle.
As regards bicycle repair. I'm not scared of anything, but I was never very good at realigning bicycle wheels. Now, I mean, I'm not brilliant at it, but I'm okay. And what else have I got good at? Podcasting. Absolutely. Rewriting the podcast book. Yeah, want to know how to open your Monday podcast? Talk about no weather for a minute. It really gets everyone pumped for the rest of the tribe. Snitches get stitches, listeners. But also, so do people who just try to drink a frickin' Mexican limeade. If you didn't hear Friday's tripod, shame on you, isolators. But So I was drinking, it doesn't matter what I was drinking, but it was a Mexican limeade. And I was holding it, sitting on a bench by the canal with it between my knees. It slipped out, hit the ground, must have smashed, and then bounced up and lacerated my left calf. That involved me being in hospital for 6.5 hours, and now I've loads of stitches in it. My mother said that I was very lucky that it didn't hit a main vein of some kind. And yes, but in another way, I was also very unlucky. Because this has never happened to anyone ever before. So I'm the exact midpoint of very lucky and very unlucky, which is a point known as... thank you for your kind wishes.
I guess stabbed is the only word that she used.
Thanks to Rox Wang. She said, you got a Dublin smile. Which is like a Glasgow smile, but when you accidentally shiv yourself with a limeade bottle by a canal. I'm very glad you didn't die. I'm very glad that you haven't died yet either, Rox Wang. Yeah, shiv, that's good. Rox Wang's obviously spent time on the inside. She knows jail. She's done bird. Knows her porridge slang. Julia Thompson. Dear Lord Doddlesworth, that's my name. While I admire your commitment to the isolators, I must insist that you please not enter into any more extreme mayhemming in the name of your art. Julia, can I just make it clear? I didn't just stab myself in the leg for want of something to talk about on the tripod. The search for content doesn't go that far. That being said, Julia goes on, I am certain that not only have you combined mayhem in Mexico, but you will now also be the inspiration for a future very specific childhood fear, as isolated parents like myself use you as an example for why our kids need to be careful with glass bottles. Now, you can't drink straight from the bottle. Do you know what happened to Doddles when he did that? I mean, that is... It's a lovely thought, but I mean, I do... You know I'm a danger dog.
Mr. Bombastic!
You guys know the extreme stuff that I get up to. Making soup, going up ladders. No, I mean, I think of my regular life and I do so many more dangerous things than drinking from a glass bottle. I go cycling. I go down hills fast on my bike. It could have happened a gazillion. You almost can't start to think about danger in that way because you'll never do anything. But Julia does make a good point that the accident did tie together so many strands of the insulation tripod. A lockdown walk, yes. I lacerated my beloved cycling trousers while I was doing it. And in the waiting room for the hospital, did I go on eBay and find a new pair of them? Yes, I did. We'll see what size they actually turn out to be. They're not from Hungary this time. They're from Slovenia. Childhood fears, yes. And then Mexico. I mean, if there is a recurring theme to this podcast, it's the non-stop soap opera that has just received a third character with the arrival of, in addition to Harry Healy and Liam Ahern, now Podge from Mexico, our third Mexican listener. And that tied into last week also when we delved into the history of the breakfast cereal Ricicles. Oh my God, what has my life become? I was asking if Ricicles, because according to the website, they were possibly still available in Mexico, and two-thirds of the Mexican contingent have been on. Liam Mahern writes, Hi, Mr. Dafydd O'Dodles, must be the Mexican version of my name. I have not had an opportunity to go to a fancy shop to buy... Oh, I see. So Liam Mahern, because he thought parsnips weren't available in Mexico, and in fact it turned out they were available, but he is alleging only in really fancy shops, and he is just a man of the soil and doesn't have time for these fancy city ways. So Liam says, I did not have an opportunity to go to a fancy shop to buy luxury products such as parsnips, so I checked online. This is about Ricicles. As you can see, the results were not what I expected. So what's happened here is Liam Ahern has sent screenshots. He has put in ricicles and Mexican eBay, Mercado Libre, has taken the R off and instead given him the option to buy a range of dildos called icicles. He says things turned rather dark and also caused me to delete my internet history. But here are the images I was presented with. I hope your leg's okay. Also love the Podge, Team Podge all the way. That's what came up, Liam Ahern. Although there is a slight element of, you know, when politicians occasionally will do a tweet like, "This is disgusting. Ads for pornography have come up while I just tried to search about a picnic." And all it lets you know is that they have been searching for porno stuff, because that's how the cookies went on their computer. Harry Healy writes, "I'd like to thank Podge, the independent third party we all needed, for confirming that Liam Ahern is indeed a fraud." Wow, these two straight up do not like each other.
Parsnip transfer.
He's also right about the non-existent lockdown here in Querétaro. There's plenty of CocoaPox going around. Mexico just passed 1 million cases, but life is back to normal. Everyone just wears a mask. Looking at the whole getting stabbed in the leg by a Mexican soft drink bottle situation, I'm beginning to suspect this is a huge allegation from Harry Healy that Liam Ahern may have had something to do with it. Isn't it ironic how on the same day he lost what was left of his credibility, that was with the arrival of Podge, a big shard of Mexican glass decided to jump up into your leg. It's not me who's in the cartel, it's Liam. Wow. Side note, I checked my fancy Mexican supermarket and they do indeed sell frosted Rice Krispies, which are the same as ricicles, according to the Rice Krispies Wikipedia page. Huge news. Has Liam Ahern going to respond to that? I mean, the idea that he came back to Ireland, hid under a bench by the canal, and then shivved me in the calf. Is that what happened, Liam Ahern? Is that what happened? Jack Heavey writes, Heavey, H-E-V-E-Y, heavy, Heavey. As a result of the pandemic, myself and my partner decided to move back home to Dublin from Amsterdam, where we've been living for the past 2 years. Although Dublin in the autumn is particularly lovely, we do miss some of Amsterdam's perks. Mainly we miss the beautiful, flat and fun cycle routes throughout and around the city. I'm wondering if you can suggest some of your favourite cycle routes around Dublin to help ease our transition back home. We're living in an Irish town, so we have a pretty central location, but need something within our 5k radius. Any recommendations will be appreciated. Shout out to English Nina as well. From Irish Town, you need to go to the South Wall. Cycle to the lighthouse at the end of the South Wall. So, other listeners, give me a moment if you've no interest in this. You're going to go left from Irish Town along Irish Town Road, then take a left up by, is that Sean Moore Road, by the Irish Glass Bottle Factory, where there was a scandal about planning in the 2000s. And then you get to the roundabout by the toll bridge. You take a right at the roll-on, roll-off shipping containers. Now, they have a special resonance for me because in the year of 1995, I spent a summer in Germany where my job was to hose out the interior of the shipping containers that say Hapag Ned Lloyd on them. And there's a lot of them there. So there's a lot of flashbacks when I do this cycle. Now, the bit of the cycle I've explained so far isn't, that's all tricky because that's all open road. So just keep an eye out. That roundabout can be tough because there's trucks coming from Dublin Port. But once you take the extreme right, which is the 3 o'clock on, if you're approaching the roundabout from the 6 o'clock, so you've gone right, yeah, then you're made in the shade because there's very little traffic from this point on. You continue road sweeps to the left, then to the right. There's a terrible smell because the sewage treatment works for the city is right there. So hold your nose while you're cycling past that. You come to the Pigeon House itself, which is an old Victorian guest house where Charles Dickens once stayed. Then you've got Dublin's three power stations are all on the left. There's the Victorian coal-fired one, which is kind of collapsing. There's the quintessential Dublin Pigeon House power station, which is the huge red and white striped chimneys, also known as Tony Adams' legs when we were kids, because Tony Adams was the captain of Arsenal and they looked like the Arsenal socks. That's no longer in use. The power station that's used now is the other shorter one with the, I think it has 10 times the power production capacity for less environmental pollution, I think. And that's the other lower one. That's in there on the left. Ignore them. Keep cycling to the end of the road. And then you get to the South Wall, which is the right-hand arm of Ernest Bligh, I think, designed it, from Mutiny and the Bounty. He was a harbour engineer.
Mr. Fryer, sir, come back here!
And the problem in the 18th century was the Dublin and 19th century Dublin port used to get clogged up with sandbanks. So they built these two huge piers on the north side of the city and the south side of the city, and that fixed the problem. And it's a beautiful cycle. I believe it was the longest seawall in the world when it was built. And go right down to the lighthouse at the end. And that is where, when I was a kid, we used to fish. And one time I was fishing for mackerel and the kid beside me, the rod bent double over and he pulled a shark out of the water. It was a very specific childhood fear come to life. It was, I'd say, a 2-foot taupe, and it was absolutely terrifying. And we managed to, kick it back into the sea. Certainly we got the hook out and sent him away on his freedom. So that is a cycle you could do. Jack Heavey / Jack Heavy. Isabel Annell. Oh, Isabel Annell. When anagrams meet, say my name. Oh. Isabel Annell equals lesbian anal. But she goes on, intriguingly, if we got married and I took your surname, which I would, because have you seen mine? Annell, like flannel. It's fine. Isabel O'Doherty could be, he rides la booty. He tries la doobies. Both oily arsed. And she says, there's an extra E. I know that's not how you spell oily. Stay her idle boo. Unfortunately, it could also be re a bloody shite, hated loser boy, and bad Tory hose lie. I mean, I think we have to get married, really, for he tries la doobies is... Well, it's good to know that your PhD is coming along, Isabel, with that terrific work. Archaeology? Is that what it is? What is your area of specialisation in archaeology? Let's do an archaeology chat. Yeah, let me know how it's going. Marie Cooper Chisholm writes, Dear Baron Doddler's Royal Knight of the Tripod, that's my name. I'm sorry to say I laughed when you started telling your glass bottle stabbing story on Friday. As I thought when you first said something was going to pour out of you later, it would be like that story when you added protein powder to alcohol. Hope you're feeling better. Now, so that was, I was quoting a Patrick Kavanagh poem about pouring redemption by the canal, referring to blood pouring out of my leg. But what you were referring to is the time on Marriage Equality Results Day in 2015. I was at a party of people I didn't know, and I was really, really hungry, and I went into the bathroom, into the kitchen. I wish I'd got into the bathroom, to be honest. I went into the kitchen and started rooting for food, and there was nothing I would have eaten, dry cereal, whatever. All there was, I mean, I was quite drunk at this point, but there was just powdered protein. So in the end, I was right, fine, I'll just pop that in the wine I'm drinking. And it was absolutely delicious. And I thought I had invented the food of the future. The whole planet would be living on this, getting drunk and buff at the same time. And then on my walk out into the city streets where a party had erupted, my tummy began to rumble, and the rumbling got much, much worse. And in the end, I had to tuck my trousers into my socks. Sorry. Marie goes on, my childhood phobia was started by a lie my great-grandparents told their children and has been passed down through the generations to terrify their offspring. The story is short but effective. If you are bad, the man with the beak... Ooh, that's powerful. Just to confirm, that is not a typo. Definitely a man with a beak will come from the sea, find you and drag you into the water. For context, my dad grew up on a small Scottish island, so it would be very hard to avoid the man with the beak if he really wanted to get you. That is absolutely terrifying! Particularly when you add, do you know those masks from the plague that sort of look like beak masks? This is absolute nightmare fuel, Marie. The story was only told to me as an example of this is how they used to scare children in the old days, but then neglected to mention that it wasn't real, and so still enough to trigger a fear of open water and man-sized rocks that might be a crouching man with a beak waiting to grab me. Oh, I see. I see what you're doing there, Marie. This is a second reference to me taking a dump in public there. Very neatly done.
Nah, go on the
and
rocks.
And it leads us particularly neatly on to today's very specific childhood fears. Play the music, Simon. Declan Maron writes, "Hi, Nibbly Nobbly Wonder. That's my name. The story about the country mother calling Wilbur for the bold boys." So that was on Friday. There was somebody lived in fear of Wilbur, who no one ever met, but was just this figure where the mother would throw the window open at when the children did something naughty and just be like, "Wilbur!" And he lived across the fields, no one knows where, but he had a motorbike and an earring, and you didn't know what he was going to do, but let's just say it wasn't going to be great. That reminded me of Wilbur, a classic parental tactic that I was roped into when I worked in a kid's book shop. Oh, Declan, this is interesting. "The man is coming" is a classic way, in Ireland anyway, to scare a child into knocking off the messing. Yeah, that must be a universal thing where just my mother in particular would just be like, "The man is coming, the man." Like when you're, I don't know, you've taken too many things down off the shelves. However, this particular Dublin ma went too far. So she must have pointed at you and announced to her child and all the customers in the shop that the man was coming and he had spiders in his pockets. The child was beyond terrified and my colleagues made me empty my pockets coming into work after that point. That is... Poor Declan. Spiders in his pocket. Oh, again, this has gone particularly nightmarish. We're going out today with this one from Owen Creevy. "Greetings, Professor Dodlington." Hello, Owen. "I have a story of utter irrational childhood fear. It's not my fear. In fact, it's over 20 years since this fear was first revealed to me. I worked in an office in Dublin Airport for a few months in the late 90s. A girl sat in the desk next to me. I can't remember anything about the girl, not even her name, other than the story she once told me. This was at once both moving and sinister. Here goes. She said that she had a fear of Santa not delivering her presents. I mean, we all have that, or missing the house. Not particularly irrational for a small child. It was the solution to this fear that was irrational. Her grandmother told her that if she said 1,000, yes, 1,000, 1,000 Hail Marys during the month of December, then Santa's visit was a locked-in guarantee. Oh my goodness! What sort of a... she got a small notebook and studiously began praying and counting on the 1st of December. This continued night and day as Christmas edged closer. On Christmas morning, just outside the living room, she opened the notebook to double-check her tally. To her horror, she discovered an accounting area. She'd only said 950 Hail Marys, so rather than open the door and take her chances, she knelt in the cold hall, nose pressed against the living room door, and said the final 50 Hail Marys there and then. The story has stayed with me for over 20 years. I regret to report I was so horrified by the incident that I never asked her if Santa had delivered what she wanted. I lie awake at night, even now, and wonder. Anyway, irrational fears and irrational solutions were alive and well in the 1990s in Ireland. I mean, that so perfectly sums up the Ireland that I grew up in. A vengeful, but at the same time, bureaucratic deity who's watching over everything. Who's, sorry, you didn't read the small print of whether you're going to get Barbie's castle. And that is Monday's Insulation Tripod. Thank you very much for listening. Do let me know if you have any contributions to very specific childhood fears, any Googles. What are your lockdown skills that you've picked up over the last 9 months? DOD@secondcaptains.com. It's been a joy to speak to you as always. Have a reasonable Monday, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. If you want to get this podcast every day, sign up to Second Captains, become a member and support independent member-led journalism. This isn't journalism, this is just chat. Ultra chat. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Bye guys.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.